Good evening. It's good to have everybody out tonight. We're going to begin in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. The title of the lesson is In the Vineyard. You know, they're working in the vineyard of the Lord. And the first point here in Luke 13 is the owner of the vineyard's expectations. And we're talking about expectations of people related to him. In chapter 13, verse 6, he began telling this parable. A certain man had a fig tree which he had planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it, but did not find any. He said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" I mean, we're talking about God here. We're talking about his expectations, and he's the owner. And he plants his fig tree with one intended result that it bear fruit. But it's been 3 years and nothing has happened and it's useless to him. I mean, you and I can become useless to God is the point. And he wants to cut it down. Verse 8, and he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too until I dug around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." The only reason the fig tree is still there is because someone intercedes. I mean, the owner would have cut it down then. But he says, let's give it one more chance. Let's try to help it along. And if it does bear fruit, fine. If it don't, I agree with you. Cut it down. Well, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 15. And it's all about the vine and the branches. And verses 1 and 2 make the same point as Luke 13. John chapter 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit." So God is the vine dresser. And this one, Jesus is the vine. He's the source of everything that comes to the church. Ephesians 1, he's head of the church. He's the fullness of all that fills all in all. And so God is the one that makes decisions about the branches. And in verse 2, he starts off, "Every branch in me." You have to be attached to the vine for this to apply. Denominational people, it doesn't apply. Romans 6, 3, "Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus?" Have been baptized into his death. Talking to Roman Christians, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, each one of us, means we've been baptized into his death and we've been raised with him. And so, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. So God's at work in the church. And the useless branches are cut off. I remember a church and a new preacher come in, and the preacher there had been fighting with the elders for 3 or 9 years from the pulpit. And all of a sudden, the elders are gone. Elders are the stability of the church. Preachers come and go. All of a sudden, within 6 months, every elder's moved. The whole thing was changed. Now, how'd that happen? Why did that happen? God prunes the branches in the church that do not bear fruit. I mean, we have problems in our lives. People come up to me talking about their problems and wondering why they're prolonged and why they continue. God's at work pruning, most likely. I mean, he's trying to get you and me to let go of some things so we can be more useful. That's his job, to prune, to cut off the useless branches. And so, verse 4 and 5, we see the only source of bearing fruit. Verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you." Now, you have to be in him. But if you're in him, you need to abide in him and him in you. It's a close relationship. And if that happens, verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in the vine." I cut off some, I pulled up some vines, been running along the ground there in the flower bed the other day, and threw them out on the sidewalk or on the driveway. And I didn't pick them up for a day or two. What, they're going to die. They're going to turn brown. All life source is gone. Well, if you and I, we can't bear fruit of ourselves alone. Now, the mistake we make is Adam and Eve in the garden, the day you eat, you shall die. They did not die physically. They were driven out of the presence of God and cut off from coming back. They spiritually died. The life source was cut off. And so people can do good. Dead Christians can do good. Anybody, evil people can do good without Jesus. But if you're going to bear fruit for Jesus, you have to have it His way, and you have to be attached to Him. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you're the branches. This kind of makes it clear, I'm the source, you're the branches, you need me. You're dependent on me if you're going to bear fruit for me. Now, if you don't bear fruit, you're useless and you're cut off. So there's a need to be attached to Him and stay attached. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And so there has to be this mutual relationship abiding in each other. Jesus has to dominate in a person's life, or all the good they're doing is for naught. Look at First, hold your place and look at 1 Corinthians 13. You cannot get around, and I'm going to come back at the end here. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2 and 3, Paul says of himself in verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. We're talking about a powerful individual who's been, he has all the ability to do miracles. He had all of them. But if he could have all faith, I mean, we think, what's a great Christian? If he could remove mountains, well, everybody would be in awe. But if he didn't do it for the right reason, it didn't come from the vine. It was selfish intent only. And what? He's nothing. You're nobody in the church unless you yield to Jesus and do it His way. Verse 3, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. You can't give more to whatever the cost. You want to help the poor. And so you give every dollar and penny you got. But you did it for another reason other than love. It profits you nothing. I mean, if you burn your body and sacrifice to the Lord and give your whole self to Him, and you don't do it for the right reasons, it profits you nothing. Not one thing. So, attached to the vine, you find reasons to do things for right reasons. Well, look at 1 Peter chapter 4. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, you know, he talks about gifts, and I'm talking about the special gifts here. But he makes two points. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employed in serving one another as good stewards of the manifest grace of God. If you have a gift, it's not given for you, like the Corinthians were doing, to take the glory. It's given to serve other people. That's the point. You have the gift. It wasn't given to you for a selfish intent, for a selfish use. It was given so it'd be beneficial to somebody else. And so you need to use it. You're responsible for that. Verse 11, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so as by the strength which God supplies. So if you can serve, you depend on God to give you the power to do it, and do it. Let the vine work. You know, if you're a preacher, teacher, you speak as if it's the utterance of God. And why? What's your goal in all of this? You notice the end here? So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Jesus' goal is to have God glorified. So if He gives a special gift to somebody in the church, I mean, the branch is attached to the vine. It's to be used for the glory of God only. You move away from that, and what use are you to God?
If you do things for wrong reasons, he doesn't need anybody doing anything for wrong reasons in the world, as I said this morning. And it says at the end of verse 11, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter thinks God deserves the glory. I mean, God is great. And he deserves the glory forever and ever. And do you want to steal the glory of God? You want your church to make it? We're going to do this to make a name for our church. Is that why you're going to do it? What attachment do you have to the vine at that point? None. So in John chapter 15, that we're attached to the vine. We can do nothing without him. You can do good things, but you know what? They die. You give it 10 years and what? Your church may not even be there. You know, things could change totally. And so if you abide in him, it's going to have long-lasting effect. His will is going to get done. And the point C tonight, the soil from which fruit comes. In the church, we're going to start a program. We're going to get people involved. It doesn't matter whether they want to be involved, whether they care at all, but we're going to get them doing it, but not for the right reason. We're actually hurting them people by doing that. There needs a soil that the vine's in that brings out the good that God wants done. And I've listed four here. Number 7, prayer. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. It's conditional. You have to abide in him, and his words have to abide in you. If that's not going to happen, there's no submission to Jesus if his words don't abide in you. Then what you're doing is not directed by the word of God. It's directed by whatever reason you have. Then he says here, the benefit is ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. He's talking to the disciples. I mean, if you're doing the will of God and you're doing it for the right reasons, you can pray and God will listen and God will give you what you ask to carry out the work you're doing. Otherwise, you're on your own. And you know, the school I went to, you know, they send me all that. They've changed the name. You know, it's a international school now. It wasn't a school of preaching. That's too low, you know. And they send out some of the fanciest fundraising stuff. No telling what the cost of that slick stuff's about. What are you people up to and what are you people doing and you're not getting a dime, you know? What's going on in the church out here? Where's the attachment to the vine? And does purity matter? Does his word matter? Well, you abide in him, his word abides in you. He's going to work with you. Your prayers, you can find ability to work all that thing out and you'll accomplish much more. Verse 8, purpose matters. We already talked about that. By this is my Father glorified. What was Jesus' goal? He only had single goals and they were single-minded, and that's to do the will of God no matter what, if it's death on the cross. And it's to glorify God, not himself. And so if you get God glorified, you're naturally what? Going to be respected. You're naturally going to benefit from it, but that's not the reason you're doing it. Verse 8, by this is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. And so attached to the vine, abide in him, his word abide in you, you start to bear fruit. And guess what? God gets the glory. I would imagine next time you prayed, he'd probably listen a little closer. You know, it kind of works that way. Several verses here on love. The soul that you need cannot be selfishness. It has to be unselfishness if you're really going to do some real good. Notice how much love is emphasized here. Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. I mean, you have to live there. I mean, that's what prompted God to have a plan to save mankind despite his sinfulness, knowing that ahead of time. That helped Jesus, that love of God, love him, sacrificing his life for sinners. And then Jesus says, I've also loved you. Abide in my love. I mean, let the love of God work. You get more unselfish. You're going to think of other people more. You're going to be aware of more opportunities to do good, to help people be saved. You know, you have something that you're rooted in that's flowing through your veins.
I remember the kids in school, you know, you take a plant and you stick it in some water and you put color water in it. What? It runs up through the vein. You know, it's neat. Well, guess what? When you're abiding in Jesus, that love is starting to flow through you. You're not going to do things for wrong reasons. You all of a sudden, and you're going to be aware of the real needs, and you're going to quit wasting a lot of time in doing that. Oh, look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide in my love. So it's conditional. I mean, he can cut you off. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. That's the reason Jesus died for the sins of the world, because he was perfect, because he abided in God's love by keeping his commandments. God was for him. God raised him from the dead. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. What's the expectation of Jesus? The kind of love he had? They know what it is? Then that's what they need to be doing. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Love is about sacrifice. And it's about doing what you have to do to help somebody be better. And so, he laid down his life for his friends. The people in the church, the faithful, are his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. You can't freelance. You can't do it. You do it for other reasons. You're not on the same side. Good may come out of what you do. Short-term good. But you know, then, like he said in Matthew 23, if you're not following the commandments and you're not doing it for right motives, you may make them twice the sons of hell as you. You can bring that church I talked about this morning. The whole thing, they taught a 10-week lesson. I point all this stuff out. At the fifth lesson, it was about baptism. They don't baptize them. They don't ask them. They want to be baptized. They didn't do it. They went another 5 weeks of teaching about what other world teachings were wrong. You know, once they'd always say. They went through five. At the 10th week, they asked the people they want to be baptized. They forgot what lesson 5 was about. And so we will be baptized because we use instrumental music. And most of them are Catholics of all things. They weren't being baptized right. They were baptized because they followed Rome commandments. And that's why it's gone. You know, you've got to be attached to the vine or you're going to die. You're going to wither. Just give it enough time. You know, number 4 here. Not only do you need to be rooted in love, you need to be rooted in joy. Verse 11. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. We live in a world with a lot of problems, and especially today. And, you know, it seems like the pressures are starting to build on people outside and in the church. You know, and then you just give them opportunity. They'll be glad to tell you. And you and I can let the worries and our frets and our anxieties, what? Just choke the joy out. I remember a lady went, had this guy she wanted to marry and he didn't want to marry her. And remember the church. And she tried to commit suicide. So I come in her room. She said, I've been telling this other lady about Jesus. I said, really? What hope do you have? You just tried to commit suicide. Where's our joy? Do we let our problems and everything just choke it out? And you're going to tell other people about Jesus and you're still dying inside? And you're groaning and griping, complaining as if there's no hope, as there's no help out here? And why are they going to follow you? You know. Verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made to the full. For the Spirit is what we're talking about here. Love, joy, and peace. You start doing what's right. You start becoming more loving. You're going to feel better about yourself. And you're going to be a benefit to other people. You're going to have joy and peace in your life. The minute you do wrong, you can see joy and peace go real quick. So Christianity is pretty simple. You know, we're attached to the vine, you know. each one of you here tonight for a reason. You know, stay attached. Let it work. Let His commandments work. Let Him work. Develop the relationship and do things for the right reason and see what good He can use you for. I mean, there's plenty of need. Need to respond anyway once you come as we stand and sing.